Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, the cat is out of the bag now. Man, we are going to have a busy and exciting couple of weeks here on Montana Talks. I got to kind of laugh about that because after the election was over and Montana did so well in the 2024 election, a lot of people were saying, well, Aaron, what are you going to talk about now? And it's like, are you kidding me? With the legislative session underway, with Republican control in both the House and the Senate, and President Donald J. Trump coming back into office, boy, are we ever going to have stuff to talk about, especially with Donald J. Trump, right? I mean, we already rolled down some of these big topics yesterday as John Jackson, the Joker from X, was with us. I mean, we told you as it was happening, Donald Trump Jr. on the ground in Greenland, and President Trump talked about that and much more in a big press conference yesterday. So we'll give you some of the follow-up information here this morning on the show. But when I say the cat's out of the bag, just look at our schedule over the next couple weeks alone. So I'll be in studio all week this week, taking your phone calls and more for the next 3 days remaining in this work week. And then next week, we'll have some time in studio, and then we're going to pop smoke. And I'm going to pop smoke for several days because Friday, January 17th, we are going to be live from the Montana State Capitol. We are going to be previewing the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association's Co-op Day at the Capitol, Co-op Day at the Capitol. They're doing that on Monday, January 20th. So for those of you that will be here in Montana, great opportunity for you to go to the State Capitol in Helena on that Monday, January 20th. And get to meet all of our great friends from all across the state that will be there for co-op days at the Capitol. We're going to see some of our co-op friends that Friday before, on Friday, January 17th. Plus, we'll have open microphones for lawmakers and anybody else who's in Helena that wants to join us for that special Montana Talks Capitol show put on by the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. So that's Friday, January 17th. And then Monday, January 20th, I will be in Washington, D.C. for the swearing-in and the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump. Who else is going to be there? Send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you will be there. I'd love to see you. Hopefully, we'll run into you. I'm sure it'll be a long line, waiting in line for security and everything like that anyway. And then Tuesday, January 21st, crazy that we're already that close. Tuesday, January 21st, I will be broadcasting live, most likely from Capitol Hill, I think is the tentative plan at this point. But either way, live show from our nation's capital. So the state capitol, Friday the 17th, live show Tuesday the 21st from our nation's capital. And then the SHOT Show, baby, for the next 3 days, the SHOT Show live coverage from Vegas. John Jackson, the Joker from X, sidekicking with us for the entire SHOT Show coverage time. It's going to be a great time. All right, let's see. Big story that I wanted to cover yesterday when the Joker was in the house. The National Sheriff's Association slams the state of policing under Biden, throws full support behind Kash Patel for the FBI. We've got a great Montana sheriff on the phone lines. Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter joining us right after this.
Fox Country. I'm Michelle Polino. Post Malone is being praised for delivering a Christmas miracle to a single mom working as a bartender in a local Texas dive bar following his performance in Houston. At the Texans game, Malone rolled into the bar alongside Shaboozy, who also performed at the Beyonce halftime show, when he learned his bill had been covered by his crew and some regulars at the bar. Malone had Brene Brown ring him up for any amount so he could leave her a tip. The 36-year-old charged him $1, bringing his total plus tip to $20,001. Realizing that he just gave her a 20 grand tip, the single mom of a 9-year-old immediately broke down crying. She posted a pic of the two of them together on her Instagram, writing, "Going into work Christmas Eve, I was so sad I had to leave my baby girl, oblivious that God would send me a Christmas miracle." That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Justin Trudeau is out. That's right. The pretty little Prime Minister of Canada is stepping down. How did Canada get stuck with that tyrant for this long? Then again, look at the mess facing our country. Well, 2 weeks to go. We will be there for President Trump's inauguration on January 20th. Then we head straight to the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Meantime, we got a lot to cover, and we want to hear from you because Montana Talks is the show where you get to talk. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10, right here.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, this story caught my eye yesterday. I almost brought this up when John Jackson, the Joker from X, was in the house with us. Of course, he joins us every Tuesday in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. But, you know, as usually happens, we start ripping and roaring through phone calls and more, and we never got to it. But, hey, that's all right, because we've got a great guest now joining us on the program, Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter. Hey, Sheriff, Happy New Year to you. My wife just got to run into you in Helena, sent me a great photo. So, Happy New Year to you and yours.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well. Yes, we got ourselves a nice selfie, so it was fun.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, I'd love to just hear what all you got going on for Cascade County in the year ahead and everything if we got time this morning. But this headline caught my eye, the National Sheriff's Association slamming the state of policing under Joe Biden, and they're already throwing their full support behind President Trump's nominee for FBI Director Kash Patel. And I thought, man, who better to get insight on this story than, you know, Sheriff Slaughter. So I don't even know if you've weighed in on this nomination yet or not, but I thought it'd be cool to hear your take.
So I was a huge Kash Patel fan the second I saw him on the Sean Ryan show. He went on Sean Ryan's podcast quite a while ago, and I thought he really got to the heart of the matter of what all Americans are frustrated with. So we need to crush the deep state. And this isn't a Republican issue, Democrat issue. This is an American issue. And he really understood it because he fought it. And in that podcast, he talked about all the hypocrisies. And if anyone hasn't watched it, they need to watch it because it's really in-depth. And he does a great job explaining that. So on its face, I'm a huge fan of that nomination.
Yeah, I listened to his book, Government Gangsters, where he really details this. And what I appreciate about Kash Patel is same thing that I appreciate about you as sheriff. Not only are you a strong sheriff, but you're also, you know, fairly independent-minded. You're not just reiterating generic talking points, right? Like, you're willing to, like, dissect an issue, whether it's school safety and security or, you know, the drug cartels and how we truly combat them. And Kash Patel, like, this is a guy who is not just combating the deep state and talking about how we prosecute, you know, criminals and things like that, but he's got a background where he's worked as a prosecutor. He's worked as a defense attorney as well. But he's seen the way that big government bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. will throw their people under the bus if that's what it takes to suck up to the D.C. establishment. He saw that in the DOJ. He's seen that in the DOD.
Well, the irony of your statement that you just made is the National Sheriff's Association used to be one of the most liberal organizations out there. It was mostly run by all the sheriffs that would be east of the Mississippi. A lot of them aren't your traditional sheriffs. They are down south, but like the Northeast and stuff like that, that's who ran it. And they catered to big government. They catered to state police. They wanted big government control. In fact, a little sheriff history, the Western state sheriffs was established in the early 90s, and it was the Western sheriffs breaking away from a National Sheriff's Association because they were too big government, not about local things, not about local issues. So this trend change of the National Sheriff's Association is truly historic. And I think we as a country really need to get behind the National Sheriff's Association, support them, and encourage this really, really good behavior as an organization. Big organizations or associations like that, they can be a problem. You can get a lot of groupthink, and sometimes you can get people in leadership that are so scared to lose their own power that they influence the whole group to think like them. And it's really unfortunate. And so I think the National Sheriff's Association is showing a ton of courage. And I think they're also doing what everyone's doing right now. Mark Zuckerberg just had a big media post where he talked about how they're going to change their ways at Meta because it's not what the people want. And so I think they're going with all these trends. It's like, hey, this is what the people want. And some people will say, well, you're just catering to the voters. Well, I always laugh when people say that because I'm like, well, that's what we're supposed to do as elected officials. We're supposed to listen to our voters, the majority of voters, not our special interests, not the people who pay us money for our campaigns, the majority. And what a lot of these groups across the country right now, they're seeing that the majority of America want to be patriots. They want to put America first. They don't want to be involved in senseless wars. They don't want to send their young men and women to die senselessly. And all these policies are kind of coming to fruition. And this National Sheriff's Association move, I mean, for those who don't understand the history of that organization, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, those remarks are very interesting by you, because when I saw this headline, I was like, man, I haven't heard much from the National Sheriff's Association that I recall over the last few years. Despite, you know, the war on law enforcement, despite the wide open borders and everything. But I am very familiar with the Western Sheriff's Association because they've been speaking out very clearly, very strongly on our southern border and the drug cartels. In fact, I think Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton was the head of that association for a little while, I think. So we definitely hear more from the Western sheriffs than we have from the national sheriffs. So, yeah, very positive development, sounds like.
It is. And you know, to describe the deep state, which Cash Patel is going to have to destroy. It's kind of ambiguous as the cartel, right? Who runs the cartel? Everyone always asks that question. Well, who runs the cartel? Well, no one really. But a lot of times it's just people's senseless greed and addiction that runs the cartel. And it's kind of the same with the deep state. It's their senseless greed and addiction, but their addiction, they're not addicted to a drug, they're addicted to power.
Very, and our money, of course. Very great definition. Sheriff Slaughter, hold that thought. I got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. If you can stick around, we'll come back to you. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
When Montanans talk about taxes, they usually mean all taxes. But when we talk about the budget deficit, it's the federal government that's spending more money than it takes in, spending too much money, many would say, with ample evidence. But there's another side to deficits that you might not want to hear. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that federal taxes of all kinds added up to 17% of the economy, or GDP, last year. That's exactly the same fraction that taxes accounted for in 1962, before the Great Society spending programs, or the escalation of the Vietnam War. That's been good as far as economic growth is concerned, arguably. Tax rate cuts at various points in time have spurred investment and helped grow the economic pie. Many more have been proposed. But the decades of actually cutting taxes and paying only lip service to controlling spending have produced the profound imbalance we have today. And correcting that will involve more taxes. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
It is the first major bill approved by the 119th Congress. The Lake and Riley Act passed the House with bipartisan support.
The yeas are 264 and the nays are 159.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says one of the two things the bill would do is further empower federal law enforcement to
detain and deport illegal aliens who commit burglary, theft, larceny, shoplifting, certainly.
Additionally, the act lets states sue the Department of Homeland Security if harm because of illegal immigration comes to their citizens. House Democrat Pete Aguilar was a nay, saying the bill had flaws to be worked out before Republicans pushed it through.
It did not come up before the Judiciary Committee. This has not gone through the normal traditional process.
Still, 48 Democrats joined every House Republican to pass it. The Senate set January 10th, Lake and Riley's birthday, to take up the bill. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, by the way, Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter, yeah, thankfully he'll be able to stick around with us here for a few more minutes. He's also got a great Pursuit podcast you've got to check out as well. He was talking about Sean Ryan's podcast, and Sean Ryan has been making some waves here in recent days as well. I watched his emergency program on Friday. But real quickly here before I go back to the sheriff, let me read a couple of quotes from this letter from the National Sheriff's Association supporting Kash Patel for FBI director. Quote, Mr. Patel's service will undoubtedly prioritize the restoration of confidence in the Bureau through increased transparency, integrity, collaboration, and commitment to excellence. Mr. Patel promised, if confirmed, his unwavering dedication to working hand in glove with local, state, tribal, and federal law enforcement at the rank and file and leadership levels. But then they also went after the Biden administration and how they have undermined the rule of law and burdened our nation with great risk and vulnerability. Equally detrimental are the border policies that permit unchecked access to our homeland. These two factors have sadly but predictably granted domestic and international criminals unprecedented opportunity to victimize or endanger the citizens and residents of our nation. Any reaction to those particular lines there, Sheriff Slaughter? And thanks again for sticking around with us.
Oh, absolutely. You know, everything they say in there is true. And again, I want to reiterate, I'm really proud of the National Sheriff's Association for finally stepping up in the right direction. You know, it's an organization that really, really has needed to take this stand. You know, locally here in Montana, the people of Montana want, the office of the sheriff is so important to them because it's the last elected law enforcement official. And they want to hold somebody accountable for law enforcement's actions in their community. And it's really, really important to the community. They want to know that they can call somebody, they can question somebody, they can ridicule somebody, they can, you know, have their freedom of speech to speak out against their local elected official or support their local elected official, whichever way it goes. And it is lost on the federal government. They use the Supremacy Clause, Article 6 of the United States Constitution, and they use that clause, and they basically say that all the federal laws are supreme to the local laws. The problem that sheriffs all understand, but the FBI fails to understand. And I pray that Ash Patel understands this, and I'm going to hold him accountable if he doesn't, is the fact that there's no federal law enforcement power given anywhere in the United States Constitution. So when they talk about laws, what they're really talking about is they're talking about the federal appellate courts and they're talking about the United States Supreme Court. Those decisions set all the tone for all of your courts going down. That's really what our founding fathers intended, and that's been lost. Federal law enforcement it's a law given. It's not enumerated in the Constitution, except for immigration. Mm. Immigration is enumerated in the Constitution as a federal law enforcement power. And it's ironic that the Biden administration literally reversed the entire intent of the Constitution. They completely reversed it. When we talk about those two elements there. So it's key, and I think Kash Patel is going to be a key person there. But, you know, we have to stay vigilant as sheriffs, and we can't get complacent because the Trump administration, we believe, is going to do all the right things. We still have to hold the Trump administration accountable. We still have to make sure they're doing good policies. We still have to make sure that they're following the Constitution. I know Sheriff's First Bill is up again here in Montana. It's actually a representative out of Laurel that's going to carry it, which requires permission from your local sheriff to do enforcement actions. That's it. It's just permission. It's not a big deal. Hey, make your local sheriff aware. It's good, you know, deputy safety policy is really what it is. But, you know, we have to keep, we can't get complacent because we have a pro-law enforcement president and appears to be going to be a pro-local government FBI director.
Yeah, I mean, great comments there talking about immigration and the federal powers on that front. That reminds me of another story that I've had in my stack here for a few days. I think it was a left-wing Atlantic article, if I'm not mistaken, how sheriffs might power Trump's deportation machine. And they quoted Congressman Ryan Zinke, who, you know, talked about how, hey, quote, the sheriffs know the bad actors. And there's advantage to the county sheriff in particular, I think it's the Atlantic writes, that nearly all of them are elected officers who are not beholden to other officials, even blue state governors. So how do you see where sheriffs can now work with a new administration under President Trump, whereas the old, you know, the current regime is working against you, basically?
Oh, wow. This is a huge thing. We might need a whole episode to unpack this, but real quick.
We can do it.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Here's what it is. I have a federal contract. Actually, I have one of the biggest federal holding facilities in the state of Montana. Cascade County Jail holds the most pretrial federal inmates in all of the state. We were doing immigration holds, but Congress created this ODO, Office of Detention Oversight, who came in and nitpicked stuff like we weren't tracking the levels of soap in the soap dispensers. Just terrible. Just terrible. And I could tell right away. Halfway through the audit, I said, you're not here to honestly audit us. You're here to get us to quit taking these offenders. Mm. And they wouldn't really answer the question. So at the end of the audit, didn't go well. I said, no, we're not taking these offenders anymore because you make it impossible. Your regulations are absolutely absurd and ridiculous. And I called Senator Daines about it, and I really encouraged him to have Trump kill it by executive order, do whatever he had to do, because sheriffs are going to need to hold those inmates. Well, here's the irony of it. We had a conference call at the end of it, and I said in the conference call, I said, I know what you're doing. You're going to do this, and Biden's going to get on the media, and he's going to say, well, I'm trying to lock up illegals, but the sheriffs won't accept it.
Mm.
And sure enough, like 2 weeks later, that was a statement he made.
Wow.
And it's just this silly game that they're playing, and they're making it so hard for sheriffs, because the problem what we run into is if we don't follow their audits and their regulations, then we get sued, and then we lose all, the taxpayers pay all that money out in lawsuits. And so you have to protect, yes, I want to arrest illegals, yes, I want to detain illegals, but I also have to protect my local taxpayers from, you know, unburdened, from all this burden of all this extra cost due to lawsuits. So I've reached out to Daines. I've told him repeatedly. I said, hey, we got to kill this organization and help free sheriffs up so they can start detaining all these illegals for the deportation project that Trump wants to. Because sheriffs support it. Sheriffs totally support it. But you got to unhandcuff us and unhandcuff our citizens because they pay for this. They pay their hard-earned dollars and lawsuits over this because the regulation is just absurd.
Man, that is just a fascinating insight. Wow. Yeah, and you name the day and the time, and we'll get you on the statewide show for sure, where we can unpack this for the full hour if you want. Yeah. But, man, what a great quick opportunity to catch up with Sheriff Slaughter here this morning. Real quickly, too, I got to get your take. You know, when the Canadian law enforcement were spying on a gun show in Great Falls and never coordinated with you ahead of time, it could have led to a serious potential blue-on-blue incident or something like that. You know, you said, hey, guys, you threw up the red flag there. What do you think about Justin Trudeau, the prime minister, announcing that he will be stepping down? Maybe they'll stop threatening the gun rights of their citizens now. Maybe they'll stop trying to spy on gun shows in America now, post-Trudeau.
Yeah, I'm just so overly joyed for the great people of Canada because they deserve better. And, again, not getting what your people want. And so at least he acknowledged that and resigned. So that's good.
America's got a second chance. Trump's given us a second chance. Canada's going to get a second chance, another chance here in a future. And then a couple minutes to go here. You know, you in I think your very first Pursuit podcast interview that you did for your podcast, you interviewed now Senator Tim Sheehy when he was first kind of running as a candidate. Just your reactions to all of the 2024 election results, and then of course now the Trump administration coming into power very soon.
Yeah, I mean, Senator Sheehy did a fantastic job. He ran a great campaign. He just, you know, again, I mean, remember his little thing at the end of all of his speech? You know, Americans want common sense, cheaper gas, cheaper food. Boys are boys, girls are girls, cops are good, criminals are bad. I mean, his little that little elevator thing that he would do is just so simple, and sadly, people in other parties can't just grasp that. You know, they can't grasp the fact that people don't, it's just simple stuff. They want their kid to be able to walk to school and not feel threatened. They want their kid to be in a school and know that nobody's going to harm them. And then they want people to not be able to go out there and commit a heinous act. And instead of just holding that person accountable and giving that person justice for their act, stop punishing all of America for that person's act. It's so, so simple. And then the I think Senator Sheehy leading that Lakin Riley bill, that's a huge thing going through. I mean, there's so many positive things that I really believe Senator Sheehy is going to bring to, you know, the state of Montana, but also to the nation.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about, I mean, the national leadership is so often so embarrassing, kind of, isn't it? You're like, really? How do these people get to these positions? They've never had dirt under their fingernails. They've never done a real thing in their entire lives. And then now you got somebody like Tim Sheehy coming in there talking about the Monroe Doctrine in response to President Trump renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. It's like, wow, we have real leadership now cropping up.
Well, it's just good to see courage. You know what I mean? It's good to see courage. It's hard, you know. One of the things that I think we need to prepare ourselves for as a nation, if you look back at our founding fathers, when they stepped out from British control and they did what they did, their homes were burned down, their families were murdered, they were oftentimes tortured. It was horrific. And when you have a tyrannical government and you move away from them, they are desperate and they are going to do dangerous things. And these people who stepped into these roles took a ton of courage to do so.
That's right. Well, Sheriff Slaughter, I tell you what, so great to catch up with you. Fascinating insight all around this morning. I got to take a quick break. I've got another guest coming up right after this. Hey, Sheriff, stay on the phone lines for just a second if you can. I want to chat with you during the break for just a second. All right, stand by.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so thankfully, Sheriff Jesse Slaughter is going to stick with us on the phone lines here. I may go back to him in a second, or I may go back to him here in just a few minutes. So our next guest who's on the schedule is Jonathan Savage. He's the Fox News radio correspondent based in London. And, hey, we told you this news live as it was happening yesterday on the show. Is John Jackson, the Joker from X, was in studio with us. And we were talking about, you know, Donald Trump Jr. is on the ground in Greenland on a private visit amid his father, President Trump, reigniting speculation about the United States owning the Danish territory of Greenland one day. How many of you didn't even know that Greenland was a territory of Denmark, that it wasn't just its own country already? So couldn't it just be a territory of the USA now? That's what President Trump is talking about. Jonathan Savage, that may be him calling in right now. So we'll chat with him, get the latest on that story, and also the international perspective, because we've got a way of looking at the story here from our Montana perspective, but appreciate hearing his perspective coming from London as well. And then there was one alibi topic that I wanted to cover with Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter, talking about the FBI and the blinking lights everywhere. So we'll get back to Sheriff Slaughter here in just a few minutes. But first, we have Jonathan Savage now with us on the phone lines. Jonathan, thanks for being with us here this morning on Montana Talks. Man, it was pretty wild yesterday. We were live on the radio as this news was just starting to break that Donald Trump Jr. was on the ground in Greenland. What stood out to you about this story? What are some of the reactions you're seeing?
The first thing that stood out to me was the visual. This very snow-covered airport in the small town, which is also Greenland's capital city, Nuuk, and down swept what's known as Trump Force One, that black and gold airplane landing on the tarmac with a U.S. flag on the tail, perhaps a harbinger of Donald Trump Sr.'s ambition to control Greenland. He says it's essential for U.S. security. And then around about the same time, or within a few hours, Donald Trump, President-elect Trump, gave a news conference, and he was asked at this news conference, will you rule out using military or economic coercion to take control of Greenland and the Panama Canal? President-elect Trump said no, he would not rule out using military or economic coercion to take control of the sovereign territory of Denmark and Panama. Quite extraordinary, and even more extraordinary, you then had the scene of the French foreign minister going on the radio this morning. He says there's no question Europe would let other nations of the world attack its sovereign borders, whoever they are. This is inside NATO, this incredible discussion that's taking place right now. Perhaps it's overblown, perhaps it's rhetoric, but it's certainly a case that Donald Trump has got the world's attention.
Very interesting, because, yeah, as I saw highlights of President Trump's press conference yesterday, it sounded like he's saying, look, we can make a deal here. The author of The Art of the Deal, thinks we can make a deal. He believes that there's a lot of support on the ground in Greenland for, instead of being a territory under Denmark, they could be a territory under the United States. And the Danes, it sounds like the Danes are trying to thread the needle here. They're trying to very strongly push back against the idea. But at the same time, they also, want to make it look like they support whatever the people of Greenland want to do.
Well, Denmark wants to maintain good relations with the United States. And there is a benefit to Denmark in doing so in terms of Greenland. Denmark doesn't want Russia and China to get more influence over the territory. And that's why the Prime Minister of Denmark said, first of all, Denmark is not for sale, but secondly, we have a shared interest. So let's work together on Arctic shipping. So there is that. The King of Denmark has sent a little message of his own to President-elect Trump by changing his coat of arms to make the polar bear of Greenland more prominent. Another way of saying Greenland belongs to us, so keep your hands off. In terms of the people of Greenland itself, it's an autonomous territory. It has its own government, even if it is part of Denmark. And its government is led by someone who's quite in favor of Greenlandic independence. But the overall sentiment, no matter what side of the fence you're on in terms of Greenland's future, people in Greenland believe they should make their own minds up about where they go.
Well, and then the big picture here, you kind of touched on this a little bit, is the geopolitical implications here, because we look at, Antarctica and the South Pole. I mean, the ice caps have been spreading. They've been growing. But in the north, some of that ice is melting. Those shipping lanes are opening up. China taking advantage of that. Russia taking advantage of that. How does the Western world take a better advantage of that, or at least not get exploited by Russia and China?
Yeah, if you took a flight from, I guess, anywhere from Montana or west to cross to Europe, you'd find the shortest route would be via Greenland. Many people will fly over Greenland and see it when they make that transatlantic flight. And you're right to say that melting ice has made the Northwest Passage viable from a maritime perspective too. There's been a 37% increase in Arctic shipping over the last decade because of climate change. And in November, China and Russia said they were going to cooperate on that. There's, of course, most people in Europe, certainly most European leaders, are more friendly towards the United States than they are towards China and Russia. I think they feel that they could work together with the U.S. on this, and they don't probably think it's particularly helpful for President-elect Trump to be using what may be interpreted as threats in order to achieve those goals.
Well, and as the crow flies, if I remember right, you're from Scotland, and Greenland, really, as the crow flies, isn't too far, globally speaking, from your home in Scotland. So I greatly appreciate your insight this morning. Jonathan Savage, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
All right. Appreciate it. Yeah, always good to get a take from across the pond. Okay, well, let's go back into it here. Let's see if Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter is still with us there. He said he would be willing to wait on hold for us here for a second. Sheriff, you still with us?
I'm with you.
Hey, all right, all right. Blinking lights, I think. Was it flashing lights or blinking lights? I think it was blinking lights everywhere. That's what Biden's FBI director testified. I think it was last summer, talking about how there are threats against this country. The lights we, you know, I mean, holy cow, there are so many threats against this country. There's blinking lights everywhere. Well, New Year's Day and what took place in New Orleans and possibly in Las Vegas certainly makes us think that, man, the blinking lights are everywhere. What's your thoughts?
Well, it's disingenuous to start with, because blinking lights everywhere, but we still don't know what all the drones are over the East Coast.
Yeah.
And so I'm frustrated because the FBI puts out this information, you know, the FBI director. He actually goes to sheriff's conventions and talks and, you know, hey, acts are coming. And it's this kind of disingenuous, we want to be transparent. But then all of a sudden, there's so many drones in the sky, and they're flying way too fast. They're doing all these things drones shouldn't be able to do. And all these reports of it, and we don't know what it is. So is this a blinking light you're talking about? I mean,
yeah.
Everyone says.
And if so, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah. It's either invasion or they're ours. And either way, it just looks incompetent. So I don't know what to make of it. You know, and then these acts occur, and locals on the ground get in a gunfight and kill the terrorist. And then immediately, FBI takes over the investigation. So it's like, we're going to come in, put it in a box, and we'll tell the public what we want them to know. And so that's my frustration.
And in the meantime, the public has less and less trust of the federal government right now. So no matter what you tell them, they're, you know, a lot of people, maybe even most of the people, are going to be skeptical at this point.
Absolutely. And then everyone starts to paint us with the same brush, which is super frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. I said this last year. I'll say it again this year. Like, look, I think we're going to see an American renaissance here as a result of President Trump and what his team is going to work to do here. But they are still going to try to throw everything they can at him and at us and at this country. And who knows how many terrorists have been allowed into this country over the last 4 years alone.
So here's my message to President Trump and Cash Patel on this. This is simple math, okay? It's easy. We can do it. Don't fund 87,000 IRS agents. Stop funding Ukraine. Fund armed security for every school in America. It'll be 1/100th of the cost. Put everybody through training. Protect the homeland, its most precious resource, our children, from these evil people that have been released into our country from open borders who want to do evil acts. Harden the targets that matter. You know, we'll harden, you know, buildings in New York, and we'll harden bridges and infrastructure, but we won't harden and protect our children. We're doing it here.
Great
We're doing
point.
Our part.
Harden the targets that matter the most to every single one of us.
Yes.
What a great message.
Yes.
All right, I got to take another quick break here, Sheriff Slaughter. A few minutes left before we wrap up the hour. If you got to run, I just appreciate you sticking around. If you got to run, don't worry. But if you want to stick around, we'll come back to you for some final thoughts.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The left and these radical environmentalists, they ignore the fact that natural gas is clean burning. They ignore the fact that the technology that they say exists, solar, etc., has not been perfected. They ignore the fact that electric cars have their limitations. And as we pointed out last year, you know, there are arguments to be made that to make those cars and use those cars, there's more wear and tear on the pavement, on the economy, and they're more dangerous than other cars because of the heavy batteries associated with them. And you do have to pillage Mother Earth to get the manganese and the cobalt and the nickel that are necessary to build out those batteries.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Donald J. Trump is officially the next president of the United States of America. While millions of Americans are rejoicing in the victory, thousands of others are still concerned about their savings. The unfortunate truth is, we still have $35 trillion in debt. The interest on that debt is now larger than our entire defense budget for the first time in history. Plus, the wars that started under Biden are still raging across the globe. So, what can you do to help protect your savings? Many Americans are already taking action by reaching out to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering a free gold and silver kit to show you how precious metals like gold and silver could help you diversify your savings before it's too late. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com. Paid for by Goldco.
Paid for by Estella's Pharma.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, this is probably the shortest segment of the hour, so just a quick few minutes left here. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll have open phones for the entire 9 o'clock hour of the show. You can call in. You can be heard all across Montana. Man, I've thrown a few different topics and questions Sheriff Slaughter's way. But, Sheriff, thanks for sticking around for the remainder of the hour. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
You know, just be vigilant. You know, this is going to be, there's a lot of nations that saw a weakness out there, and they want to take their shot at us, I think. I think that's, you know, that day's coming. And we have so many bad actors inside our country that we normally wouldn't. And so we have to just be vigilant, but also be present. Be present with your church. Be present with your family. Those are the things that matter. Stay close to those people. Live in the moment. Don't live in fear. You know, we are part of a great nation, and I think, you know, good things are happening. And the last thing I guess I'd say is this, is don't forget who runs this country, and it's the people. It's not the bureaucrats. It's not the deep state. It's not even elected officials. They're just representatives of the people. So we just need to remember that.
That's right. We the people. One, you know, I've had a friend who's actually documented and counted different commands in the Bible and how many times a different command is written out in the Bible. And the one that he says is written out more than any other is do not fear and do not worry. Do not be afraid. Basically something like that's what's spelled out multiple times, probably more than any other command. But yet, how often do people just get consumed by it?
Well, look at our country right now with anxiety. You know, that's anxiety's fear, worry's fear, and we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it myself. But we have to remember that there's something way bigger than us, and we have to trust in it.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, when it comes to just, there's something else you said, and I was like, wow, what a great point. And I know what it was. David Noble made a great point. I had him on the show, and we were talking about, you know, closer towards the first of the year, we were talking about, you know, these terrorist attacks and things like that. And he made a great point. He said, you know, I'd you know, because people were talking about the shortfalls in security in New Orleans, how they didn't have the barricades up and running, right, that should have been up and running. And he made a good point. He said, you know, I think the bigger issue is the fact that we have to have these barricades in the first place. We used to be a country. We used to be a Western civilized world that didn't need barricades from radical Islamic terrorists driving through Christmas markets.
Wow. Amen. So true. So true.
Well, Sheriff, it's been great catching up with you. Thanks for sticking around with us for most of the entire hour. Great, interesting responses all around.
Thanks, Aaron. God bless.
All right, God bless you as well, and Happy New Year to you and yours. And we'll hope to see you very soon. I know I'm definitely planning on breaking out of the studio some more and taking the show on the road. Let's see. Coming up at the 9 o'clock hour of the show, we'll have phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. If you're busy, that's a great way for you to be able to quickly get a message out there. Lots to talk about here today on the show. I really wanted to take off for Helena to do a show from the Montana Chamber of Commerce's business days at the Capitol. I know that'll be that's always a ton of fun and great to see so many folks there. But we are going to be doing our own show from the Capitol here very soon. So we're gonna be on standby for that one. But luckily, we can take you to the Capitol any day of the week as lawmakers and others call into the show. Plus, every Thursday now, I don't know if we mentioned this yet, but every Thursday, like we did last legislative session here in Montana, when Matt Regeer out of Kalispell was Speaker of the House, he joined us and would do a quick weekly update. Sometimes it would be a quick update. Sometimes it would be a longer update. We're going to do that once again with now Senate President Matt Regeer. He's going to join us to kick off the 9 o'clock hour every Thursday here on Montana Talks with the Legislative Update. So that'll be great. All right. I'm going to clear my throat, drink some water. We'll be back. As you get then again, look at the mess facing our country. Well, 2 weeks to go, we will be there for President Trump's inauguration on January 20th. Then we head straight to the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Meantime, we got a lot to cover, and we want to hear from you because Montana Talks is the show where you get to talk. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10, right here.